This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Kalamazoo County is considering a local ID program. Coming up, Sevilla Mann talks with the director of the Synod Community Center in Ypsilanti, which helped create an ID program in Washtenaw County. But first,
do you agree that global warming is a hoax?
I do not, Senator.
So Donald Trump is wrong?
I do not believe that climate change is a hoax.
That is Oklahoma State Attorney General Scott Pruitt, Donald Trump's nominee to lead the Environmental Protection Agency, being questioned by Senator Edward Markey during a confirmation hearing yesterday. We're going to talk with two members of the Climate Change Working Group at Western Michigan University. David Caro is a professor of biological sciences, and Paul Clements, a political science professor at Western. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks for having us, Gordon.
Thank you.
Your group has expressed a lot of concern about Scott Pruitt as the head of the EPA, potentially, assuming he's confirmed. Did yesterday's hearing do anything to calm your fears?
Not at all. And actually, that quote is, it really doesn't say that he will do anything to combat climate change. What he said is that he believes that climate change is happening. That's not the issue. It's 100% certain that climate change is happening. The question is why? And he did not say that he believes that humans have any contribution to climate change, when in fact it's very likely that we are causing close to 100% of current climate change.
100%. Is there any wiggle room in there that it could be less than that? Because we do know that there are fluctuations in the Earth's temperature that happen outside of human activity.
Right. Up until 1900 or so, all climate change in the history of the planet was due to natural factors, and really one natural factor, which was changes in the amount of solar energy reaching the planet. Those changes happen as a consequence of changes in our orbit, the tilt of our axis, and the position in our orbit when the northern summer occurred. Those are well understood. They cause changes over tens of thousands of years, not over a century. And natural climate change all boils down to changes in solar radiation. Turns out that since 1975, while Earth has been warming at the fastest rate in probably 55 million years, the sun's energy has been decreasing. So there's really no natural factor that can explain any of current climate change.
You know, what our group is concerned about is government depends on the authority of science. Everything we take for granted of what government does depends on the scientific underpinnings to understand what's actually happening. And the science is very clear on this, that we need to be taking even more rapid action than what we're taking. And, you know, when Donald Trump says climate change is a Chinese-inspired hoax, he puts a lot of room in there for you can kind of not quite go that far. But Scott Pruitt, his entire record, as well as his comments at the hearing yesterday, demonstrate that he is a climate science denier. And those of us who are in institutions that depend on the authority of science, we should be saying this is just not acceptable.
Let me read a quote from him yesterday. Science tells us the climate is changing and human activity in some manner impacts that change. The ability to measure and pursue the degree and the extent of that impact and what to do about it are subject to continuing debate and dialogue. Now, we've covered the first part of that, how much of it is human activity, but let's deal with the second part of that. What are the solutions out there for climate change, and is there some room for debate about the best way to attack it?
So the first thing I think is to challenge that statement. There's some inaccuracy there. There is virtually no debate about the impact, the contribution of anthropogenic activities, human activities in climate change. We have a number of different lines of evidence, so strong that an overwhelming majority, over 97% of experts agree that it's human caused. So one of the deniers' standard positions is that scientists themselves haven't come to a consensus yet. But in fact, there's been an extremely strong consensus for decades in the scientific community. It's just that Scott Pruitt, Donald Trump choose not to listen to the experts. And there are very, very few instances in our lives where we do not listen to experts. But for some reason, an obvious reason, this is one where some people will not listen to the experts.
Okay, so let's operate from the assumption that climate change is caused by human activity, and there are things we should do about it. What are some ideas? And again, is there some debate here that we could really sit here and talk about maybe five different ways to address climate change and try to figure out the best one?
Yeah, Gordon, there's enormous debate about, as we're rapidly reducing carbon emissions, how do we do that? How do we do it most effectively? There's enormous debate about that. But what Scott Pruitt wants to say is, well, there's debate about whether we should really do anything. Or, you know, should we do a little bit or nothing? Or, you know, it's just what he's talking about in terms of debate. You know, the economics of this is very clear. As of 2017, we have enough infrastructure already in place that for the economic life of this infrastructure, if it takes its normal economic life, that will take our planet to 2 degrees Celsius, which is what scientists say we've got to stop before that. So if we don't take action now, then the cost down the road to maintain the safe level is going to increase dramatically. So yes, there are there's debate about how we go about transitioning rapidly to sustainable energy, to non-carbon-based energy, but not the kind of debate that Scott Pruitt seems to have in mind.
Okay, well, let's throw out an idea or two from you two. I mean, if it were just simply the Climate Change Working Group at Western Michigan University, or maybe even more specifically, David Coreau and Paul Clements, what would be the strategy to try and address climate change in order to stop the Earth from getting too warm that we start really having questions about whether or not the human species can survive?
So at the national level, I would immediately shift all subsidies that we currently give to the fossil fuel industry, somewhere between $5 and $15 billion a year, strangely, to the most profitable industry that's ever existed in the history of humanity. I would shift those subsidies to wind and solar. We could produce vastly more energy than we use as a country by either wind or solar. It would take a big scale-up operation, but we have the technologies already. We simply haven't committed the resources to make those available on a national level.
And as we shift those resources, we also need to follow the proposal of the Citizens Climate Lobby and have a revenue-neutral carbon tax where we raise the cost of producing this carbon pollution. We take those resources and we distribute them to every single family in the United States in some kind of equitable way that's going to be progressive, that will use the market, which is what conservatives often have supported, use market forces to lead to more efficient ways to reduce carbon pollution, and it'll be a big plus for most families.
So in other words, there would be a carbon tax, and then in return for that, we, the American people, in some way get a tax cut, because we're probably going to be paying more than for the energy which is produced through fossil fuels.
The overwhelming majority of American families, and particularly low-income families, spend less than the average, because it's the wealthy who are burning more carbon. So if each family either gets a tax cut or a check in the mail or whatever, that's equitable even per family based on population, then the low-income portion of our population will benefit. The people who are creating the carbon pollution will pay more of the cost, and it will lead to, if the tax is a reasonable level, to more rapid movement and efficient movement towards sustainable energy.
We're going to have an interview on the air next week about Donald Trump's promise to bring jobs back in the coal industry and why that's going to be very difficult to actually do because of simply the economics of it right now. But part of that is that it's become fairly easy and not terribly expensive to extract natural gas. Of course, the problem with that is hydraulic fracturing. And the state of Oklahoma, where Scott Pruitt comes from, has seen an increase in earthquakes that most people believe can be linked to fracking. But, you know, what's the overall view of natural gas? I mean, is it a better solution than, say, mining coal or drilling for oil?
It is a somewhat better solution than coal. Coal kills, whereas natural gas does not, because the emissions from coal-fired power plants cause respiratory and cardiovascular difficulties, probably 20,000 heart attacks and 13,000 deaths in the U.S., including a number in Michigan. So it's a little bit better than coal, but it is so much worse than other technologies that we have at our fingertips and just are ignoring. The cost of coal-generated electricity currently is actually higher, considerably higher than solar or wind. Michigan recently bought wind power at 4 cents a kilowatt hour from outside of the state, from Indiana. Coal, if you include the health cost, is about 27 cents per kilowatt hour. So natural gas is still a fossil fuel. It's still a terrible choice relative to others we have available. I would like to see a national effort to dramatically scale up wind and solar and put the plants, the manufacturing plants, in coal country. Let workers in West Virginia have a choice of whether to work in a nice new wind turbine factory or to go underground in the mines and dig for coal. I think it would be an easy choice.
But does it necessarily follow that if you've, you know, worked this long time as a coal miner, that you can then take whatever skills you've had there and put them into helping to run a wind turbine?
I think job training would have to be part of it. But I mean, I'm not an expert in this, but I can imagine that certainly within half a year, you could be you could be qualified to work at most jobs in a turbine factory.
Yeah, there are going to be significant human costs in the transition, and the government needs to step in there to help to address those costs. But the human costs of not making that transition are infinitely, enormously greater. You know, natural gas, it's a carbon fuel. We need to move towards getting off it. But the CO2 per kilowatt hour from coal is much higher than what it is from natural gas. So yes, as a transition, I do think natural gas is a, if you're moving from coal to natural gas on the way to solar and wind, that's the right way to go.
David, we had you on the air about 2 years ago discussing the difference between 2 degrees and 4 degrees warming centigrade, Celsius. Since then, since that time, it was reported that 2015 was the warmest year on record. But then we just found out this week that actually 2016 topped it and was the warmest year on record. There's also some differences there in terms of sort of natural phenomenons that make those numbers even a little more concerning. Can you explain that to us?
Sure. We have been throughout all of 2015 in the first part, but a minority of 2016 experiencing a super El Nino, which tends to make a year a bit warmer than normal.
Is El Nino a natural phenomenon?
Yes, El Nino is a
natural
phenomenon.
Not caused by human activity.
Correct. Okay. Although it is likely that the frequency and severity of El Ninos will increase as a consequence of human-caused warming. It's one of many positive feedbacks in the climate system where changes that warming that we cause creates events that cause even more warming. So all the more reason to get it under control early. But 2016 was the record warmest year, and not by a little, by a huge margin, even though the El Nino was only the first part of the year. So it is even stronger evidence, if any is needed, that there are other than natural phenomena causing warming. Those are burning of fossil fuels and the cutting down of forests.
We have about 30 seconds left, so Paul, I'll turn to you for the last word. What does the Climate Working Group at Western Michigan University plan to be doing once Donald Trump is inaugurated?
Well, for one thing, we're going to be continuing to raise awareness, to teach our students at this university about the realities of climate change, the social impacts. It's going to be affecting their lives. It's going to be, unfortunately, a very challenging part of our students' future. We're going to be educating the community, and we're going to be continuing to be involved in encouraging our citizens to take political action, because that's the way we make the change.
David Corot and Paul Clements, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
The Western Michigan University professors are members of the WMU Climate Change Action Group.